In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church is Judgment Sunday. It is the Sunday that we remember the final and impartial judgment of Jesus Christ at His second coming. There's so much we could say about this day, about the dread judgment. Certainly it brings to mind the end of things as we know them. Questions of heaven and hell, questions of goats and sheep. It also brings to mind the fact that we are easing ourselves into Lent this week, since this Sunday is also called Meat Fair Sunday. And so we give up meat first. We say farewell to meat as we prepare to give up everything else that Lent entails a week from now. This Sunday, then, is in a way the final wake-up call before Lent. It's a Sunday in which we are given the reason for the season, we could say. The final judgment is the end that we are all moving towards. And it's good to remember that in all of this, we are moving towards God. All things are moving towards this singular moment, towards God. And by necessity, then, all things will come into proximity, into nearness with Him. We will come to stand before Him, and this is judgment. So we are given this image of the final judgment today, and it's an interesting one, because on the one hand we see a king who is Christ coming in his glory and sitting upon his heavenly throne, and yet on the other hand is the image of the shepherd, the one who is going to divide his own herd from that of another flock. And just the role of a king is to protect his people, the role of a shepherd is to protect his flock, to lead his flock towards life-giving pastures and away from danger. And so today we're given this image of a composite flock made up of sheep and goats. And we have before us the Sunday of the Last Judgment, also oftentimes called the impartial judgment of Jesus Christ. We've probably heard so much about this judgment throughout our lives, whether you grew up Orthodox or a part of another denomination. The judgment is something that permeates the gospel message. And oftentimes, when we think of judgment, we think of a courtroom and a judge. But today, the image is that of a shepherd and a king. And this shepherd king is impartial. The word in Greek there is aprosopolemptos, which means without any preference for persons. Without any preference for persons. This word is used only once in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, who says that the Father judges without partiality, each according to our work. And this impartiality should fill us with both trepidation and hope. On the one hand, God is the one who, as Jeremiah says, tries the reins, the innermost parts of man, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So God knows our inner selves. He knows our reins. It's actually the word for kidneys. If you think of renal, that's the word there. Reins, it's kidneys. But it's the innermost part of us. Not the self we perhaps put on in front of others, but our true self. And this should fill us with a healthy amount of trepidation. It should make us ask ourselves, who am I really? Am I the person that others think me to be? And this is so important because, as Metropolitan Anthony Bloom once famously said, God can save the sinner you are, but not the saint we pretend to be. On the other hand, God's impartiality should fill us with hope because His judgment is perfect. He cannot be intimidated. He cannot be bribed. His judgment is a simple revelation of who we truly are, goats or sheep. But it doesn't stop there. This impartiality we should also apply to ourselves as well. Are we impartial as our Heavenly Father is impartial? Do we interact with the same sweetness, the same gentleness, the same joy, the same love with those we hate compared with those we love? Or do we show partiality towards those who will repay it to us with their praise and their friendship and so on? Impartiality towards others is the highest form of love one can attain here on this earth. St. Maximus the Confessor says it four times in part of the Philokalia in his 400 chapters on love. He says, "Blessed is he who can love all men equally." And he repeats it four times, reiterating later that you cannot attain to perfect love if you do not imitate God and love all men without regard for their person. This does not mean being a doormat. This means loving impartially. It means not being swayed by who a person is. It's probably the hardest thing to do in today's world of celebrities and idols. Think about the person in your life outside of your family and friends who takes up the most of your attention, the person you admire the most, whether it's an athlete or an actor or even a coworker you admire, and so forth. Imagine that person walking through the doors of Holy Ascension and saying, I've heard about this Orthodox Christianity thing. I'd love to begin the process of becoming a catechumen. And oh, by the way, I want to start tithing. And so I'm going to give 1/10 of my $10 million a year to the church. How are we going to react to such a person? Are we going to roll out the red carpet? Would we be kind to them? And would we be hesitant to offer them any sort of criticism? Would we react in the same way as if someone from off the streets came in asking for help? Would we interact with them in the exact same way, offering them kind words, a nice conversation at coffee hour, and an invitation to return, knowing full well that they might be a net negative on our life's balance sheet? That is the impartial judgment of Christ. It cuts through every outward appearance and gets to the heart of the matter. This was the miracle of the Christian message. The poor and the rich sat together at Christ's table and all drank from the same cup. It was one of the greatest headaches for St. Paul in Corinth. When the church in Corinth would come together for the Lord's Supper, as he says, each would take his own supper ahead of the others, and one would go away hungry and another would go away drunk. The Corinthians are showing partiality in their Eucharist. The rich come away drunk and the poor are excluded. And yet Christ showed no partiality in his Last Supper. As St. John Chrysostom says, if anyone could have shown partiality, it would have been Christ in the Last Supper, because of the distance between he as God and master and teacher and that of the disciples as mere created beings and students. He should have been dining with kings and philosophers and dignitaries and so on. And yet Jesus does no such thing, not even with Judas, who in that moment he could have cast out. He shows no impartiality. And the same goes for our judgment. Christ is not swayed by who the world thinks us to be in this life, and instead searches out the recesses of our heart for our true selves. So today, in this Sunday of the final and partial judgment of our Lord, let us remember this impartiality and thank God for the gospel reading we are given today. It's a cheat sheet of sorts. Everything we do in the church, from our fasts to our liturgies to our prayers, should be shaping us into individuals striving for perfect love, striving to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the imprisoned. Because as we do it to the least of our brethren in love and in simplicity and with impartiality, we do it to Christ, to whom we do all glory, honor, and worship, together with his unoriginate Father and his all-holy good and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.